I thought I would just speak a little bit today about the chashivus of what I believe is almost a is highly forgotten in the world of people who have gone beyond the portals of yeshivas. It's maybe not even emphasized enough any place, but certainly in that world, and that is learning bi'iyun, the importance, the benefits, the essentiality, how it's really critical. And I think that that any individuals that dedicate the limited time that they have to learn to seder in learning bi'iyun are really, you know, doing the most essential aspect of Talmud Torah. It's a little bit shocking that the Gemara in Brochus, I think it's Daf Heyomit Beis or Daf Vov, it talks about, it says the Igra de Pirka Riato, the schar that you get from going to the Drosha is the going, is the running. So Rashi says a very strange lotion that he says, because the reason, why is it for the going? Why not for the learning itself? So Rashi says, because they don't understand the drosha well enough to say over la'achar zman b'shem horav in order to get the schar for Talmud Torah, the schar of limud. Sounds like that to get the real schar for limud ha'Torah, a person has to understand well enough to have some sort of a kinyan that he could say over la'achar zman, doesn't say how much zman. Maybe it means 10 minutes, you know. I mean, if it means much more than that, we might be in trouble. But at least right after, I have enough to be able to say it over that I get the schar for Talmud Torah. It seems that the schar for Talmud Torah is totally in a certain measure of understanding. And for those that go to the drosha, since they really don't have that or don't get that level of understanding, they get the schar for going. So to me, that means that if you get up early in the morning and you don't learn bi'iyun, you get tremendous schar for getting up early in the morning. It's dark outside right now. It's, you know, it's very commendable. But the schar for Talmud Torah seems to be totally in a significant measure in the clarity of understanding, in the kinyan ha-Torah, in the havona that I get at least enough to be able to say over. And that's really the gather of the mitzvah and of the schar for Talmud Torah. And I think what that really says is that the maximizing the opportunity to learn is really totally in this type of learning, of understanding, and of at least enough havona to make a kinyan to be able to say over. And therefore, I think that the, you know, learning bi'iyun is the ikar. I assume.
Is this
what's that?
Is this interactive?
Yeah, sure.
So halacha is
used
for
so good. So halacha.
That's not necessarily bi'iyun.
Well,
so it's simple. I could have a tefisa on it and be able to say it.
Okay.
Bi'iyun, it's more of an undertaking.
Okay.
You can't necessarily say it.
Right. That's a very good point. The Shach says, "Forgive me," but he says the lashon of the Shach, I think, is oisan balabatim. That was his balabatim that he was talking about. You know, they work, and they learn only 3-4 hours a day, so the ikar learning should taka be in halacha. They have to know how to be mekayim the mitzvahs. But there is something else. There is something to be said about the learning bi'iyun, even on an ongoing basis, even after a person has finished his formative years, even though he's out working most of the day, and really he should be learning, you know, most of that 3 or 4 hours. Halacha, I don't know what the Shach would say if we only had an hour, but I do know that when it comes to learning halachas, a real level of understanding the halacha, not just to say it over, but to say it over properly and to get it right and to have it with clarity and to apply it to a slightly variant situation other than what it says, beferish, requires a good measure of Havona too, which has to be constantly honed. What happens with Havona and learning, and maybe it applies to other things too, is when it isn't practiced constantly, it atrophies. It becomes rusty a little bit. I can't think like that anymore. That's too... It's not like riding a bike. That's habitual. That's not intellectual. And don't believe it, riding a bike. I haven't ridden a bike for the longest time. I don't know if I could still get on and do it. But it's not... That's a habit. But learning is not a habit. What? What's that? I don't know. It depends on the individual, but the practice, the ongoing practice of using those kalim and those powers of analysis and those.
You're not talking about the details, but the actual
skills.
The skills of Havona. That's what's needed for learning halacha properly, and that has to be kind. So I would say even those balabatim, he says be'ikar, I think the lashon is that learn, and the ikar should be halacha. They still have to have a seder in sharpening and constantly sharpening their skills. And if you think about it, it's really pretty poshut, because the chokhmas haTorah is infinite. It's infinite. We're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chokhmah. There's no limit. And Mimela, there's no limit to how much depth I can get. So if I'm constantly growing or refining or retooling or sharpening my ability to delve into the depth, then I'm constantly reaching new depths of understanding. And that depth exists in halacha too. You know, it's a mistake to think that halacha is a simple process. You know, it's been simplified today by a lot of the svarim that are written, you know, especially in English, which tell you halachas, but it's not really.
Sure, what? Face value looks, but if you go from the Torah to the
that's right. And even the Mishnah Berurah itself, if you really analyze it, especially with a Bir Halacha, with this, So that's so even one who's learning Halacha should do it at least part of the time that way, so that those skills be developed. And the truth of the matter is, there's something else too. What do we want out of our learning? So of course we want to know the Dvar Hashem, but learning is also the ultimate form of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's something which I think is forgotten a little bit in the world today, and maybe it has some kesher with the superficiality of learning, and that is the forging a deeper connection and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth of the matter is that a person who learns the way it should be learned, then when he gets up to daven, it should be a different davening, because I've spent a significant amount of time just trying to understand the Dvar Hashem, just working towards that goal of appreciating Hashem more, his thinking, his attitudes, his values, the nuances of his infinite level of chokhmah and understanding. And the more that I've attempted to get close, the more that I connect, and therefore that connection uplifts me in the other aspects, the other areas of connection, such as tefillah. But I want to mention something a little more specific. There's a mitzvah of Avas Hashem. V'avtes Hashem elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol moedecha. So first of all, stam, very important to know what Rashi says. Rashi says, Eino doime ho'oived mi'avo ho'oived mi'yira. Ho'oived mi'yira raboi matriach olov ve'hoylech loy. A person serves Hashem out of fear. Gets a little bit too hot in the kitchen, he just takes a walk. I can't handle it anymore. You know, it's too much for me. And today, it's very painful to say, but we're seeing this on all levels. We're seeing this on the level of teenagers who are just finding it too much of a burden, and especially in the context of absolute, you know, almost do-or-die service. And we're finding it, sadly, in adults. And adults who've been products of yeshiva education, married families, living a life of Torah mitzvahs, and then at some point just something snaps, totally, partially. It's very tragic what's going on. And I believe that a lot has to do with that. Raboi matriach olov, If it becomes too much of a burden, I take a walk. I can't handle the burden. Not so ho'ovid me'avo. Ho'ovid me'avo, it's not a burden, it's a privilege. It's a privilege. When I have that relationship, when I know, ani ledoidi v'doidi li, I know how much I love him, I know how much he loves me. And by the way, that's the greatest message, or the underlying message of Shir HaShirim, is the depth of love that still exists despite the fact that he's behest upon him. We don't see the hashkocha that we saw in the past. He's mashgiach min achalonos, meitzitz min acharakim. He looks through the windows, he peeks through the crevices, and he watches us and takes care of us, but it's more hidden. And we look at ourselves and we say, what? You know, he could say, pischi li achoisi rayosi, bang on the door, we won't even let him in. And yet to know that that love is still palpitating and still active and still passionate between him and us and him, is a tremendous chizuk and a tremendous opportunity to appreciate all of the burdens of Torah and mitzvahs as privileges. So that's one thing. But then Rashi continues and says, v'hoyu advorim o'ele. So he says, mahu ha'ahavo. That's the lotion of Rashi. Mahu, what is ahavo? Not how do you get there. What is it? He says, it's limud ha'toyra v'hoyu advorim o'ele, when one learns. And then it's the pshat, mitoich kach ato makir, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you come to recognize him, u'mistabik bidrochov, and then you connect and you cling to his ways. That's very interesting. It seems that Rashi learns, it's based on a Sifri, but Rashi learns the pshat, that learning Torah is the metzius, not how do you get to Avas Hashem. It's the metzius of Avas Hashem. It's the kium of Avas Hashem. Why? Because I'm studying to come to recognize him and to connect to him, and the effort that I put in, and I would say the olive of vecho, the passionate and full effort that I put in, I would say the early morning when it's still dark outside effort that I put in, that is not just an effort to get to the point of being makir him and mistabik bidrochav and love him, but the effort to put in to come to recognize and to know him and to know his ways and to know his thinking and to know his directives and to know his value system and to connect with him, that effort itself is an expression of love. Because why am I putting in such effort? That means I love him. If I didn't love him, I wouldn't put in such effort. And the putting in the effort engenders the love, and it's an expression of love. Now, there's different levels of love, of course. When I put in the effort and I come to recognize him and I'm mistabik bidrochav, the love is even more intense. But this too, mahu ahava, is a kiyum limud ha-toiro al-levovecho, advorim ha-eila al-levovecho, is a kiyum of the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. I would take it one step further, and this is purely, you know, my own Hoysofa, a bit gedarshin, maybe. The next posuk is Vishinantum Levonecho. Vishinantum Levonecho, so Chazal Darshin, it's for the Loshin Shinun. Shiu divrei Torah mechudodim beficho. Shimishalcho odom dover alta gamgin el emer lomiad. The inyan of learning be'iyun is included in the mitzvah of Vishinantum Levonecho. That the divrei Torah should be mechudodim, sharp. That I get it clear, that if someone's going to ask me a question, I could answer. I have a mastery, I have a sense of kinyan, I have a sense of depth, I know what it is. And that too, I would say, in this parsha of Avo, is an extended expression of that Avas Hashem, is a unique expression of this Avas Hashem, because I love Hashem so much, I learn, and I sacrifice for learning, but I put in that extra effort, that extra sweat, that extra push, that extra amelus to really come to get it and to appreciate it, to understand it. Agav, the Shinandum Levanecho, Chazal say, is the mitzvah of teaching Talmidim. It's very interesting. The first parsha of Krishma, the Vishinantum Levanecho, is to teach Talmidim, the Gemara in Kiddushin says. The second parsha, Vilimadita Moisem Esbenechem, is to teach your own children. Shaila is, shouldn't my own children come before Talmidim? In Halacha, teaching your own children has a din kedima before teaching Talmidim. That's the halacha. That's what Reb Baruch Ber has, that whole thing where it says, really, everyone's mechuyif to teach mitzvah. The Rambam says. So why is it then called mitzvahs haben alo av? Why is it considered that it's a special mitzvah on the av to teach him Torah? So he says over there, I think he brings from the goyim, there's two special aspects to the father's responsibility. One is that it has a kedima. Father teaching your own son has a kedima to someone else's. And the other one is that someone else's, you're only mechuyif bechinam. You're not mechuyif to pay his schar limud. Your own children, you're mechuyif to pay his schar limud. I think the grandchildren too, but that's my problem. But anyway, so you see that this parsha v'shinantum levanecho is talking about talmidim. I ask you a question. How did Chazal get that? How do they know that? Why not say the first parsha should be talking about children, which should have kedima? That's there is a din kedima. The second parsha should be talking about talmidim. What?
Practice.
What?
You practice in Samantha's kids, and then you got to write.
Oh, all right, that's one interpretation. I would say that's an interpretation. You're putting your own ideas in there. I would try an explanation, which is also a little bit of an interpretation, I must admit. I would say like this. The first parsha of Krishna is the parsha of Ahava. Kabbalah so malchus shemayim, which Rashi says in Shir HaShirim, is all based on Ahava. As he says in Shir HaShirim, which is all about Ahava, is kula yira shemayim v'kibul al malchus, because everything is really based on Ahava Hashem. Which is a greater expression of Ahava, teaching your own children or teaching someone else's children? Your own children, there's some personal motivation there. It's not all based, maybe based on Ahava of your children, but not on Ahavas Hashem. There's more of an expression in Ahavas Hashem when you teach someone else's children, because it's pure. I'm doing it out of the Ahavas HaTorah, out of the Ahavas Hashem, rather than my personal motivation of teaching my own. Therefore, I would suggest that the Chazal, when the Vishinantu Levanecho, they understood that that meant Talmidim, because in the context of the mitzvah of Ahava, this is the greater expression of Ahava. Be that as it may, Mishinat Levanecho is definitely connected to that V'hoyu Advorim O'Ela, and that is certainly an expression of learning. Be'iyun, Shiyu Divrei Torah Mechudodim B'Ficha, that sharpness, that clarity. That, in fact, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has a tshuva. He deals with the Shaila. I haven't seen it for many, many years, but he deals with the Shaila of what's the heter to travel to a yeshiva to learn. Those days they had to travel, who knows, days, and even today you go to Eretz Yisrael, it's a 2-3 day asik till you recuperate, till you know everything. You sit home in your own little shtetl, you have a little bismedrish right in your neighborhood, you don't have to travel and learn. So Rabbi Yisrael says there's two mitzvahs in Talmud Torah. There's Vishinantam and Vahugisa. Vishinantam is Shiur Mechudodim, the clarity, the depth, the accuracy, the sharpness of the learning. And Vahugisa is Vahugisa Vayom Valayla the Hasmoda. He says the Vishinantam is Doiche, the Vahugisa. Since by traveling to the yeshiva, you're going to learn how to learn better, you're going to get a sharp in your Vishinantam, the Mela, that's Doiche, the Vahugisa. And even though there's so much Bittel Torah involved, what the shear is and the measurement, I don't know, but those days it was significant travel and whatever. And since there's even though there's a loss of the Vahugisa, but the Shinantum, the Iker is the Vishinantum, the getting the clarity of the Torah. And that's what, of course, besides everything else, connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we feel that sense of Dveikus. We feel that appreciation of halacha. It has a hashpah on our whole life. Everything is different because of the level of connection that I have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we want to think about it in a different context, and again, my goal here is to promote this learning bi'iyun, which is what you people have dedicated yourselves to do. I would look at it a little bit differently too. I would say life is all about trade-offs. Nothing is simple. I get it all. It's just like they say, by sheduchim, als ba'enim nishto ba'kenim. Everything by one doesn't exist by anyone. There's always trade-offs in life. You can't have it all. I would suggest that there's a trade-off here too. A person could learn much more, have an experience of learning tremendous kamus, you know, mesechtes and mesechtes, at a certain level of understanding, or could develop and deepen, forever deepen and sharpen those kliches of ishinantum, of clarity, of depth, of ability to reach the depths of Torah. So you have two types of people. You have one who has a superficial mastery of text, or you have another one who has the keys to Kol HaTorah Kula. And to the degree that I sharpen my keys, it means like this. I may not know all of that information, but I have the ability to access it all at a deep, at a sophisticated, at a real, as real as I can get, you know.
It's what if having the keys if you never use them?
No, you do use them.
So you don't use them to
Wait a second. We're not assuming that this is all the learning you're gonna do. Of course, I'm sure you have a seder at night to learn bikiyas. You want to cover the ground, you want to know the material, but the point is like this. The trade-off is that when I emphasize that only, what I have is a very superficial understanding. In reality, I don't have anything really clear. I don't have it well enough to say over lachazman to have that level of havona. Whereas the person who has those keys, that anytime he sits down to learn, he sits down later to learn halacha. Let's say he knows he's doing 3-4 hours a day. Most of it's going to be halacha, but he has the keys to access the true halacha. He can be masik shmeitz aliba de hilchasa. He can really go through a mishnah.
For those that aren't,
what's that?
For those that are not doing the 3-4 hours a day, and they have to learn.
Nobody says he's going to have halacha seder. He's going to do something. He has to have halacha seder. After kol hashen halachas b'chol yom muftach lo yishu b'nolam haba. But it's a different kind of shena halachas. He's a vishinantum of the shena halachas. He has the ability to delve, to understand, because he's constantly sharpening those tools. So all the learning that he does, again, it's very clear that we can't be mistopic, which is getting up early in the morning and having a seder in Iyun. But on the other hand, we should realize the chashivas of that, because that's really the key to achieve, to delve into, and to, on a realistic and sophisticated level, to master everything else that we learn. So that the key is very significant. I'll tell you something else too. People that only learn on a superficial level, and if they're intelligent and intellectual, they always have a problem. And that problem is, I have to rely on others to really tell me what it's all about. And there's a certain skepticism about the truth. Because unless I have the ability to access truth on my own, I'm not so confident in the truth of that truth. I'm not so confident in the reliability of that truth. I have to ask somebody to explain to me, tell me, what's the halacha, what's this, what's that? And I know, well, okay, I look, you know, this, he wrote a book in English, he must know the halacha, you know, and of course, why he has haskomas and he has this, but I'm a little bit skeptical. I don't know, and I don't know, maybe it doesn't apply exactly, but no, I know how to learn. I have those tools, that depth of Ian. I can on myself go back and check it out and see, and does it make sense? And do I understand it? And is it the proper application? It's a whole different level of commitment. There's a greater security in one's Avodas Hashem, knowing that he has the ability to check these things out himself and to figure it out for himself. It's Eino Doimeh, because we're all a little bit skeptical by nature. And we know that... What's that? Some more than others, that's true. And we know that we don't have today a Chazon Ish, and we don't have today a Reb Chaim Oizer, and we don't have today a Reb Moshe Feinstein. We don't have such people today. And the Mela, there's a certain... The more that I know on my own I can evaluate something, the more confidence I have when I learn something that I'm getting it and that I can count on it and rely on it. And it creates a whole different appreciation of the truth of Torah. There's something else too. There's a Rabbeinu Yoina in Ovois. It's the third or fourth parak where the Mishnah says, "Haloi meramanas lalamed, maspikim biyodo lilmud lalamed. Haloi meramanas lasos, maspikim biyodo lilmud lalamed lishma balasos." Yonah says over there, he says, "Chas v'sholem that the one is loi meramanas lalamed doesn't want to know the halacha, doesn't want to do lasos." But he says he's not the one who's willing. I think his loshen there is lahatriach es atzmoi. Yomim v'shonim lahasig dovar koton. His commitment to emes is not as intense. He isn't willing to put in the time of yomim, days, and shonim, years, to achieve a dovar koton. Now, I don't know if the Rabbeinu Yonah is recommending that we do that for one dovar koton, but the concept of to be matriach himself, yomim v'shonim lahasig dovar koton, that is the true test of a person committed to emes. Commitment to emes requires the willingness and the ability for a person to be so deeply committed that he's willing to put in time and effort and there's almost no limit to what he will put in just to achieve one dovar koton. Because to him, this is Teres Hashem, this is emes, and the clarity of the emes that I get is really a reflection of my own personal commitment to emes. And that's also something that's very important, because emes is really what it's all about. The ultimate connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through that emes. And the ish emes is the one who is willing to put in the time and the effort. And think about it. I study a Torah text, and I study it superficially. Get a little bit something. I have a general, sometimes a vague, sometimes a little bit less vague idea of what's going on. Okay, but like, if my life depended on it, if it was kihem chayenu v'orech yomenu, if this was the prescription for life, I had to get all the ingredients 100% right in order to take the right medication, I would put in much greater effort. But, you know, superficial, it's okay. I get a general idea. It's not kihem chayenu v'orech yomenu. So that really is a test of how serious, of how committed to truth, how much I appreciate that this is life. And that's really what learning in depth is all about. I think that there's one other thing which I would like to mention, and that's as follows. Two things. Number one, we're always looking to be able to enhance our children's learning experience. Children have a lot of complaints about learning with their parents. I've heard them all over the years, both from my own and from others.
So I was going to say that maybe there's a little difference between the Ava and learning with other kids. It's nice and it's enjoyable.
Okay. So wait a second, let me be a little more specific about that point, okay? And the point is like this. Many kids complain that when their fathers learn with them, they're really just testing them. They really want to see what they know. And that's very disturbing to kids. They don't want to be tested, especially if they don't know everything, you know, and they don't want to be rated, and they don't want to take a chance of being evaluated. They don't want to take a chance of the image that they have in the eyes of their parent being affected by what they know or what they don't. If a parent has the ability to give a child an excitement in learning, an excitement that doesn't come just from reading words or getting a superficial understanding, an excitement that comes from challenge, from the ability to take him, to challenge him to think, to get into a deeper depth, to get a deeper level of clarity, to come out with a different sense of, wow, I didn't think of that. Wow, look at this. Look what I said. He forced me to think, and I came up with this idea, and this idea that I said was able to explain this, that, and the other thing. There's an excitement there. And the truth of the matter is that that's Vaharev no Hashem Elokeinu. We ask Hashem should make it pleasant so that our children, our grandchildren, everyone should be Yedei Shemecha V'Limdei Torasecha. And this is the key. It doesn't come from superficial learning with the kids. When the father reads the Gemara, or the kid reads the Gemara, and the father's maybe half asleep, maybe even paying attention, it doesn't inspire, it doesn't stimulate, it doesn't challenge. But when there's this sense of real excitement and challenge and fighting back and forth and delving to the depth and getting him to see something, it's a... What? Okay, but you know, he has to. It's just. It's just like if you introduced French wines at your Shabbos table, it would take a while till everybody gets adjusted to it, develops a taste. I don't know anything about French wines or caviar or something like that.
Learning in Shiva, you're supposed to just, you know, go.
Well, so you know something. That's something else. You don't want them just to have that, because at a certain point, you're going to want them to be able to learn more in depth. And if they do too much of that and they don't get any of this experience, it's going to be very difficult to do that. The adjustment, the radical difference between complete superficiality and not experiencing any of this in-depth learning and something which is, you know, what you want in a high school, what you want in later on in life, is a big difference. You know, I one a very big Baal Kishron who was in the yeshiva in the early days, I was learning with him privately. And once he said to me, wow, am I glad I never learned the word in high school. He says, because had I learned in high school, I'd never be able to do this. You know, if you get too used to the other thing, it becomes too hard. Like you said, you know. But if you
mentioned
also, what?
I think you mentioned also not to do what they're learning in yeshiva with them.
That's something else. Yeah, then they're not testing.
Right.
But it's just tastes, even tastes. You do once a week, you do once in 2 weeks, but a taste of something that's... It makes a big difference with our children. And then I want to leave you just with one very quick thought. I look at this as one of the most defining and exciting and inspiring moments in my life. When the first time that I was in Eretz Yisrael, I had a seder twice a week to learn with this Rosh Yeshiva, this Gadol in Eretz Yisrael. His name was Reb Lazer Plachinsky. Later, we cemented the relationship in a more concrete way. But anyway, so I used to go twice a week, and once we were sitting in the cold, frigid Beis Medrash in the middle of the winter with the kerosene ovens there, whatever, were not even on. It was freezing. We're sitting there for 2 hours arguing back and forth, pshat miktsois. And what?
No,
I spoke Yiddish. Anyway, so, and this 2 hours going, I'm freezing. My feet were just like, finally got up and finished. And he's this short little man, takes my hand, and he's talking, and he says, you know, we think the architects that designed the buildings of the world, and the engineers, they whatever they do, and the contractors, what they do, he says, we don't realize, he says, what we're doing here now is what holds up the world. And then with tears flowing down his face, he says, if not for the Torah, then day and night, and all of the chukai shamayim v'oretz wouldn't exist. And that's the feeling that we have to have. That when we're learning, and especially when we're learning in depth, which is the ikar schar of Talmud Torah, that we're literally holding up the world. So, you know, you people are holding up the world, you should know something else. There's a raya from the Ovis Reb Nosson, but they used to hear it in the name of Reb David Leibowitz, said that when there are times when there should be more people learning and they're not, like a Friday afternoon or Mitzvah Shabbos, those that do learn get the schar that was supposed to be given to everybody else. So I once found a raya from the Ovis Reb Nosson, and that's an interesting thing. So even if you have a small group here, everybody who should have been here, who could have been here, get the schar for that. It's a tremendous investment. Ashreichem.